Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good morning, everybody. Dermot Whelan here. I'm sitting in for Oliver. It's Friday, the 12th of September. I'm with you until 10 a.m. this morning. It's sunny here in Dublin. Last time I looked out the old window, let us know where what the weather's like in your part of the world. Hope it's good. And you can get your thoughts into us too, the usual way. Text 51551 or you can WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32 or send longer thoughts by email to oliver@rte.ie. Rightio, loads on the show for you this morning. We're going to be chatting to Ellie Berry, who is an Irish adventurer and who has walked every way marked trail in Ireland. I mean, that is some feat. And she's in to talk about a walking festival in Boyne Valley that you may want to take part in. And also, starting a business before turning 20. The two founders of an Irish startup success story will be joining us. Just Tip was founded in 2021 by entrepreneurs James Fahey and Kira Walsh to bring transparency on tipping for staff and employers. A business that's clever and sound. So I can't wait to talk to them and feel completely inadequate because before the age of 20, all I was working on was how many beer mats I could put into a tower. But looking around the news today, conservative activist and presidential hopeful Maria Steen is pictured in the papers in a lovely photo outside Leinster House with her husband Neil. And they look quite 1950s, 1960s glam, I think. Kind of like the Kennedys are characters from Mad Men. That's the sort of look, very sharp. Although the way Maria's husband is holding the umbrella over them both, there's always also something quite Mary Poppins about it all. You sort of expect them both to float over the railing singing "A spoonful of sugar helps the medicine go down." Although if the Steens are as conservative as they say they are, I'd wager there's no sugar allowed in the Steen household. Cod liver oil and a morning novena all the way. The news keeps telling us that the campaign, the presidential campaign, is ramping up. It's hotting up. And I know we're meant to be tremendously excited about the presidential campaign. And I'm kind of afraid to say it out loud because, you know, you're meant to be into these kinds of things. But I wonder, does anybody feel the same as me? I'm just not really feeling it. I'm not terribly excited there. I've said it. I'm just not. You know what it feels like for me? It's like, you know, when you were in school or you go into work and everybody's talking about a TV show that you haven't seen and they're mentioning characters you've never heard of and they're very excited and you're like, yeah, yeah. Like if you meet somebody who's really into watching The West Wing and they're desperate to tell you about it and you're like, sorry, I just don't get it. And the people on the news and the journalists and the media and your political friends get very excited about all the candidates and you're just going, sorry, who is that person? I've never heard of them before. The only bit that kind of sparked my interest was when Michael Flatley said he might run for president. And here's my bigger confession. I think I would have voted for him. Did anybody else feel disappointed when he pulled out of the race? I mean, he's like a supercharged Irishman, isn't he? You know, do you remember in school we learned about the Normans and they'd say, the Normans, more Irish than the Irish themselves. That's Michael Flatley. I just thought he'd be like, God, give me the presidency. Just can't get enough of Ireland, bigara. He's just that, God, that Irishman we'd all like to be. He's on the late tonight, incidentally, and he'll be talking about his decision to pull out of the race. But he's gone. So, you know, we've got the other people who I vaguely know and Jim Gavin. It's a bit weird hearing Jim Gavin getting to grips with the ins and outs of foreign policy and global conflicts as journalists and other politicians try and catch him out. I mean, I know he was in the army and all, and he might have formed some opinions on these things, but we're just not used to hearing him talking about, you know, those kinds of things. It's like we're used to hearing him talking about lads leaving nothing out on the pitch. And it just makes you feel like, why are we making a former football manager talk about all these things? It's kind of a weird halfway house, the presidential, the whole presidential campaign. You know, sometimes you feel let's either get hardcore politicians with experience on these things or choose someone who we just think is a good representative as an Irish human and let them at it. You know, it's just kind of, I guess the job itself of president is a bit of a strange halfway house in itself. So I'm not sure how well I'm expressing myself on this, but I think you know what I'm saying. I had to feel like to say it because sometimes you feel like you're the only one who's just not getting it. I feel like the one kid in the class in 2014 who wasn't arsed about loom bands. You know, you just feel left out of the conversation. Maybe I'll get into it. And look, don't get me wrong, there have been moments so far. Conor McGregor's high-octane fight with an auto cue outside Leinster House, that was a moment. Joanna Donnelly's, well, everything Joanna Donnelly did, they were moments. And of course, I will be voting, as that's an important right that our forefathers fought and died for. But I just hope it gets more engaging. Like that new TV show, Traitors, for example. Now, that is engaging. Straight out of the gate, on episode one, they kicked two contestants off because someone didn't like the look of them. Just didn't trust their heads. Booted them off. Well, they're all excited to be on the telly one minute and the next minute they're sulking down the driveway of Slane Castle, heading for home. More of that in the presidential campaign. That's the kind of energy we need to lift engagement. Mr. Gavin, what is your opinion on the effects of tariffs on the European economy? Well, I think that, get the hell out. Go on, we don't like your head. That's it. Wrap it up. Now I'm on board. I was a tad late to the party, I have to say, on the traitors. I came in a couple of weeks after the launch because I heard everyone talking about it and I developed telefomo, as you tend to do with these things. But my wife and I got stuck into it straight away. We loved it from the off. And it's not usually my bag, I have to say, these kinds of shows. I'm usually more of a science fiction man. I generally watch anything set in space. Or if I can't find that, I go for kind of John Wick type films where this is my favourite thing to sit down and watch. If I can find one of these movies, former Navy SEAL, our special forces guy, who is bursting at the seams with regret and shame about his previous life. He just wants a quiet life. But then some randomer just who has some connection to Armenian drug dealers just won't leave him alone and he's forced to come out of retirement. And next thing you know, he's digging up all his guns from the basement of his house and kicking everybody's butt. That's my favourite TV or favourite movie. I generally treat reality TV shows like colonoscopies. One every 5 years. While heavily sedated. But this one, Traitors, is great. And there are some great characters on it. And it's only on Sundays, Mondays and Tuesdays. So like a colonoscopy, it's over before you know it and it leaves you with a smile on your face. I'm really looking forward to the debrief of Sunday's Traitor episode here on the show on Monday. So if you're like me and we're feeling a little bit left out of the conversations and think maybe the presidential campaign isn't giving you the dopamine injection you'd hope for, then try it for yourself. Traitors, not colonoscopies. Just jump onto the RTE player and have a little binge for yourself. It's great. I mentioned Michael Flatley there and that he's going to be on the late tonight talking about his decision to pull out of the presidential race and his journey with cancer as well. Also on the show are Barbie stars Margot Robbie and our own Colin Farrell. They're in lots of the papers this morning. They have photos from their movie premiere in London last night. Margot wearing a pink-hued silk slip dripping with dazzling embroidery. Pretty see-through. It puts Samantha Mumba's spider dress from back in the day in the Halfpenny Place. Do you remember that one? Robbie has a matching visible thong. So I've no idea why so many publications have chosen to show the pictures. Can't imagine why. Colin went for a more sedate outfit. He's kind of a Detective Columbo look. Remember Columbo? God, my dad used to love that show. He's wearing a trench coat and a tie, Colin is. Looks good, looks sharp, always looks well these days. The pair are in a new movie together called Big, Bold, Beautiful Journey, which tells the story of a couple who meet at a wedding and then embark on an otherworldly adventure. Sounds familiar, says you. Not what you usually associate, I suppose, with our usual Irish weddings. Usually more of a big, bold, beautiful hangover, in my experience. But they look great. And, you know, when we see these stars looking $1 million on the red carpet, or is it $1 million Bitcoin these days, it's easy to think that everything comes easily to them because they just look so happy and wealthy and healthy and well looked after. But not so if you listen to the always refreshing actor Olivia Colman. Olivia is in the news today and she revealed her small on-screen role was cut from a 2021 indie film, The Electrical Life of Lewis Wayne. So that's pretty recently, and a big actress to be cut out of it. She, of course, won an Oscar And she's currently promoting her comedy, The Roses, which marks the first time she has starred alongside Benedict Cumberbatch after more than a decade of friendship. However, they revealed on a podcast that they had actually acted on screen together before, but her scenes were cut out of the film. We did a tiny bit in, Cumberbatch began, to which Coleman interjected, "I got cut." However, the favourite star insisted she had no hard feelings about being dropped from the biographical comedy drama. She didn't seem to care too much. She said, "It's the best thing to be cut because then you get paid and no one can say you were shiting it. It's great," she quipped. And I know how you feel, Olivia. Little known fact, I actually starred alongside Oscar winner Cillian Murphy in the 2001 movie directed by Kirsten Sheridan, daughter of Jim Sheridan, of course, Disco Pigs. I had a whole scene of dialogue in that film where I was dancing with the lead, Elaine Cassidy, and Cillian takes umbrage with that fact and comes over and headbutts me. But the entire scene was chopped out, and all my speaking bits, basically. And the whole scene just fell helplessly to the cutting room floor. And I only realised that after going to the cinema and telling all my friends that I was in it. So if you don't believe me, you can check the movie database IMDb and you will see Dermot Whelan as Bad Dancer number 2. Not Bad Dancer number 1, number 2. So as Olivia Colman suggested, I think Kirsten did herself and me a favour with the editing scissors on that one. Staying with movie news, Steven Spielberg's been talking about Jaws a lot this year because it's celebrating 50 years. And he's marking the occasion with a new exhibition about the film, which opens in Los Angeles. Jaws is the film that launched Spielberg's career, of course, as one of the most influential American directors. Now, if you told 26-year-old Steven Spielberg this at the time, he's unlikely to have believed you, because the making of this film, mostly on water with the famous mechanical shark 12 miles out into the Atlantic Ocean off Martha's Vineyard, did not go, dare I say it, swimmingly. Spielberg could have made the film in a controlled tank environment, but instead he opted for the authenticity and unpredictability of the sea, which was his first mistake. As a result, the filming was chaotic. The production apparently went massively over budget. There were problems of weather and currents. The animatronic talent was temperamental, to say the least. And by that, Bruce, who was the mechanical shark, whose bits didn't always react well to the salt water. And it wasn't unusual for the director to call action when a sail from a boat or a regatta in the background would just sail into the frame. So behind the scenes, the crew were getting seasick, but not Spielberg. He was way too stressed and way in over his head. People were telling him he'd never get hired again, suggesting he'd just bow out gracefully. But in fairness to him, he kept going. And looking back, it seems he wouldn't have changed a thing. He says, even though there were challenges, without those challenges, I don't think Jaws would have been as successful. It was his second film, made $260 million in the US box office. And, you know, when you hear these stories, this can seem like, you know, important inspirational lessons on pushing through when all seems lost, as success is just around the corner. But you have to remember, for every one Jaws, there's about 1,000 terrible movies made where the director could have been better off just throwing in the towel. Michael Flatley's Blackbird, anyone? Radiohead tickets go on sale this morning, and some music news for you, for their brand new tour. And I know this because I'm getting messages on my phone from home all about it. I have them warned. I said, do not message me between 9 and 10 this morning with questions about time zones or Ticketmaster passwords or anything else, because it's quite a complicated process, this Radiohead ticket business. If you're involved, you probably know all about it, because you had to apply for special codes. And then you didn't know if you were going to get a code or what city the code would apply to. And then you have to register an hour before the tickets go on sale and blah, blah, blah. So it's all a bit of a head wreck. It's mostly because Radiohead have condemned ticket resale sites and exploitative touts who use them after more than 1,000 potentially fraudulent tickets for the band's upcoming tour were advertised online before they'd even gone on sale. So the band implemented strict measures designed to limit touts' ability to buy up tickets for shows in London, Berlin, Copenhagen, Madrid and Bologna. It was all announced to many delighted fans, because they haven't toured in many years and people are very, very excited. And it's one of those ones where, is this going to be their last one? Those kinds of tours. So a lot of Radiohead fans in my house. Not sure how much delight there is in my house. as my wife and son are currently battling 8 layers of identity authentication, I suspect. But sure, look it. For the day that's in it, we'll play a bit of Radiohead. Here we go. Oh, that's great. That'll get you ready for the weekend. Wreck the place. It's Radiohead. Best luck to everybody trying to get tickets this morning. Hope you're not left high and dry. Hope the process isn't driving you around the bends. See what I did there? Yeah, no. Anyway, best of luck to you all. 51551 is the text if you want to get in touch with the show today. 0870 32 32 32. After the break, we're going to be hearing from the two young entrepreneurs behind an Irish startup becoming famous for being sound.